Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 11th. Local bars welcome 100% capacity. The story was written by J.C. Lewis. Tall City Brewing Company and El Guapo Sports Cantina are two Midland establishments ready to welcome back patrons at 100% capacity. Tall City Brewing Company General Manager Jeff Thomas said that it won't look that different for the brewery since they have been operating at 75% capacity. Quote, 100% capacity for us is more than 350 people, he said. The idea of not having a mandated mask policy will hopefully give people the notion that we're headed in the right direction towards normalcy, end quote. The brewery won't be requiring customers to wear masks, but customers can wear masks if they want to. Servers will continue to wear masks for the time being until more people are vaccinated for COVID, he said. Quote, we thought it was a good thing, but it was definitely out of the blue, he said. We are happy things are headed toward normalcy, or as much as possible anyway. As a small business owner, this is what we want because we want customers to feel comfortable, end quote. As far as the food and beverage license goes, Thomas said they are still looking to TABC on guidance if they will continue to need the license to operate or if the brewery will only need a brew pub license. Food trucks will continue to be available during operating hours since that was always part of the original plan, Thomas said. Quote, we are waiting to get clarity from the TABC to see if we have to continue with the restaurant designation, he said. But as soon as we can drop it, we will, because right now it has the 5149 restaurant policy, which affects how much alcohol is sold for revenue, but we need more clarity from the TABC before we do that, end quote. Tall City Brewing Company is continuing to offer growlers to go, and they now have added cans to go with three different styles of six-packs. El Guapo Sports Cantina owner Roger Gearhart said the sports bar and restaurant opened in August. The establishment has only operated under COVID policies, but he said the staff is excited to work without the extra mandates and policies. Quote, the employees and the customers hated those masks, Gearhart said. It was a constant battle, but we still took everyone's temperature when they arrived, handed customers a mask, and asked that they wore them if they were up from the table. Gearhart said they won't require customers or staff to wear masks anymore now that the mandate has been lifted. When the bar originally opened, they were operating at 50% capacity, then 75%, and Gearhart is excited to see the establishment be at 100% capacity finally. Quote, we're not concerned, he said. The vaccines are coming along, and we have heard great numbers for the amount getting vaccinated. I think the younger people are strong and can handle it, plus the older people are getting vaccinated now, so I think we are on the right road, end quote. Mandates lifted, but what comes next? Some businesses will still require masks without support of mandate. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. Governor Greg Abbott's decision to remove the statewide mask order has forced businesses to decide if they will continue requiring customers to wear masks without a mandate to assist them. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center released a statement following Abbott's announcement saying they will continue to enforce mask wearing, social distancing, and capacity limits for performances. Quote, we are all very excited about getting back to a pre-COVID normal. However, that will all come in time, General Manager Stephanie Rivas said in a statement. One of the main components of their decision is that coronavirus protocols have become an industry standard, Ginny Van Doren, Director of Marketing, said in a phone interview. She said most artists are requiring that COVID-19 policies be in place before they will agree to performances. After Abbott's mask order was lifted on Wednesday, there is concern that some patrons will refuse to wear face coverings, Van Doren said. Quote, there's going to be a handful of people who might try and see what they can get away with, but by and large, people are respecting and following the rules that we have put in place, she said. Van Doren said they're having a meeting with the University of Texas Permian Basin, which owns the Performing Arts Center, next week, to discuss the steps they will put in place if patrons insist on not following their policies. Sam Logan, co-owner of Endless Horizons Records and Tapes in Odessa, posted on social media after Abbott's announcement that the same rules still apply and no mask, no entry. Quote, I think it is up to everybody as an individual to do what they can to keep the people around them safe, he said in a phone interview. And in that case, as a business owner, I feel like it's my duty to do what I can to make sure that my employees and customers are safe. End quote. Logan's post received several negative comments from those who disagreed with his choice, but he said most of those commenters were never customers and don't live in the area. He said employees are providing masks to customers who enter without them, and the store is offering curbside services. So far, any maskless customers have either taken the masks offered to them or left the store when asked to wear face coverings, Logan said. Quote, one person being offended is a lot better to me than the possibility of one of my regular customers getting sick, he said. Some businesses are changing their policies from requiring masks to asking that customers wear masks because of Abbott's decision. InTune Music and Sound, which has locations in Midland and Odessa, changed their signage Wednesday, according to operations manager Derek Killam. A photo provided by Killam shows signs on their front doors now say, quote, we are aware that Governor Abbott has lifted the mask mandate. However, we have at-risk employees, and we are asking you to wear your mask in our store, end quote. There's little help available to businesses requiring masks if a customer refuses to don a face covering. Midland Mayor Patrick Payton said during a press conference Tuesday that businesses will need to decide how to enforce that rule. Quote, there will be options available to them if a particular customer or patron causes a scene or does something that's dangerous to others outside of the perception of wearing a mask. But a local business is going to have to make that decision about how they're going to interact with customers in that regard, he said. He said businesses can't call the police department for assistance in enforcing mask rules, but they could file criminal trespassing charges if a customer refuses to leave after service is refused. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 11th. Evelyn D. Pitts, age 67, of Austin, passed away Sunday, March 7th. A celebration of life was held on Wednesday, March 10th, at Morehart Mortuary Chapel. K. Francis Laverne Stewart, age 82, of Midland, passed away on March 8th. Services will be in the chapel at First Baptist Church in Midland at 10 a.m. Friday, March 12th. Interment will follow at Bellevue Cemetery in Rotan, Texas, at 3 p.m. Kay was born June 4, 1938, somewhere near Rotan, Texas, to Florine and Hollis Swearingen. She grew up and graduated from high school in Rotan. Kay is survived by her brother, David Swearingen, and sister-in-law, Sharon, of Arlington, Texas, her daughter Monia, and son-in-law Kent Brown of Midland, two grandsons, and several highly loved nieces and nephews. Kay is preceded in death by her parents, her brother Dwight, and husband wife B. Bud Stewart. The family would like to express their gratitude to the staff at Manor Park and Home Hospice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. On March 6th, Patsy Lou Collins DePrang passed away. A graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, March 12th, at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Patsy was born on December 10th, 1928, in Coleman, Texas, to Herman Dewey and Lula Mabel Smith Collins. Patsy married Oscar Lex Bunk DePrang on September 13th, 1947, and moved to Midland, Texas the very next day. Survivors include her two daughters, Delinda Lou DePrang McConnell from Comanche, Texas, and Diane Collins DePrang from Gatesville, Texas, as well as three grandchildren, two great-grandchildren, two brothers, also many nieces, nephews, cousins, and many dear friends and neighbors. Patsy was preceded in death by her husband of 34 years, Oscar Lex Bunk DePrang, and her parents, Herman Dewey Collins and Lula Mabel Smith Collins. The family wishes to thank the team at Bluebonnet Health Services, Hospice of Waco, Texas, for their professional care and assistance during the past weeks. Memorial contributions may be made in Patsy's name to Bluebonnet Health Services, Hospice of Waco, Texas, 307 Londonderry Drive, Waco, Texas, 76712, or to any charity of your choice. Rosemary Prigmore Swope, age 88 of Midland, died on March 8th. Visitation will be held at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home on Thursday, March 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m. Funeral service will be at 2 p.m. March 12th at Mid-Cities Community Church, Neely Campus. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Rosemary was born to Alfred and Myrtle Prigmore in Pampa, Texas, on August 11, 1932. She attended Pampa High School and graduated in 1951. Rosemary is survived by her sister, Betty Stovall of Pampa, and her children, Charlotte Glenn of Midland, Cheryl Osmond of White Deer, Richard Swope of Midland, and Ronald Swope of Midland, as well as several grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild. Her parents, her son Robert, a grandchild, and a great-grandchild preceded her in death. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the missions ministry of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Corey Johnson, age 39, passed away on March 2nd. Wake service will be held at 6 p.m. Friday, March 12th at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Celebration of Life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, March 13th at True Light Christian Fellowship. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Terry Garrison, age 61, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, March 10th. The family will receive friends from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Friday, March 12th, at the branch at NPW. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, March 13th, at Mid-Cities Church, Neely Campus. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Thomas Tommy Simpson, age 89, of Midland, passed away March 8th. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Friday, March 12th, at Nellie Pickler and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 13th, at Fairmount Park Church of Christ, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Survivors include wife Martha Jane. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, March 11th, 2021. Stop the spread. Wear a mask. Protect yourself and others against COVID-19. Football tourney benefits set for June. Battle of the Southwest organizer and Odessa High School alumni Chris Taylor speaks about his brother Kenny Taylor and their time growing up in Odessa during a press conference about Battle of the Southwest Wednesday morning at the MCM Elegante Hotel. Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Event will honor the late lawman Kenny Taylor by Michael Bauer, M-B-A-U-E-R at OAOA.com. For Chris Taylor, it'll be an opportunity not just to honor his late brother Kenny Taylor, but to also benefit first responders as well. That opportunity will come this summer when Odessa hosts a youth football tournament in Kenny's honor called Battle of the Southwest. The announcement was made during a press briefing Wednesday at the MCM Elegante Hotel Ballroom. The tournament, scheduled June 3rd through 6th, is set to bring in as many as 50 teams from across the Southwest in a tournament that will be in partnership with the Texas Youth Football and Cheer Association and National Youth Sports. Kenny Taylor, who was an Odessa Police Department officer, died back in December after a battle with COVID-19. Chris, like his brother, grew up in Odessa, but now lives in Goodyear, Arizona, and wanted to honor him by organizing this tournament. I knew that whenever we were getting ready to have this event, that the only place we could do it is in Odessa because we're from here, Taylor said. We have so many connections here. I know it was also important to have Sheriff Mike Griffiths on my side and explain what this was for. Odessa is our home. We were born and raised here. Just to bring these kids to the middle of Odessa and show them what football really is, it's a blessing. The number of people behind this have been a blessing. Proceeds from the tournament will go towards the Officer Kenny Taylor Foundation, an organization founded to benefit first responders and their families who have been affected by COVID-19. We're trying to raise as much money as we can, Kenny said. We'll be charging entry, and all that money will go to my brother's foundation. We're offering sponsorship donations that will get sponsors a banner with their company logo and on the back of a T-shirt. Games will be played at both UTPB and ECISD football fields. Taylor said there will be 30 kids maximum on a team and that safety protocols will be taken. The adults are not allowed on the field and we will enforce whatever COVID protocols are at the time, Taylor said. We will be enforcing that with the help of the sheriff, so we'll have to wait and see as the tournament gets closer what protocols are in place. Other sponsors include Taylor's youth football program in Arizona, the AZ Longhorns, the Odessa Crime Stoppers, Discover Odessa, and Extreme Speed Training, which is headed by former University of Arizona running back Reggie McGill. He's one of my partners, Taylor said. They're all coming down. The tournament starts on June 3rd. The 6- and 7-year-olds will be on one field, and the older kids will be on another field. UTPB President Sandra Woodley was among those who also spoke at Wednesday's media event. We are proud to open up our facilities at the university for this wonderful tournament, Woodley said, We believe that the university can partner with the city to make this city a sports destination. We're excited about doing that with this tournament. Griffiths also spoke, highlighting Kenny's legacy. Kenny was a very good guy, Griffiths said. He was a good officer. He spent time in different agencies throughout this area. He was a good guy, and this is a great way to honor him. It's a good plan to help the first responders. Taylor added that there are still open spots available for teams to register, and added that the support has been amazing. The show of support has been great, Taylor said. I started making these phone calls to everyone, and I couldn't be more grateful. They really got behind this and drove this home and helped me with the partnership. My brother was a true blessing. His passing hit hard. I had to have surgery so I couldn't make his funeral. So this is how I'm paying my respect to my brother through this tournament. Odessa Police Department Officer Kenny Taylor died in December after a battle with COVID-19. A youth football tournament in Kenny's honor, called Battle of the Southwest, is set to be held in June. Courtesy photo. Spring breaking. Tony Bannister of Odessa pushes his son, Liam, 2, down a sand dune as their family made a trip to the Monahans Sand Hills State Park for spring break Tuesday afternoon in Monahans. Monahans offers inexpensive day trip by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. Monahans. With spring break underway, many families are searching for easy and cheap ways to keep their kids entertained. One place that's been a popular destination in the area is the Monahans Sand Hills State Park. With the temperatures getting warmer, and with the Texas mask mandate lifted, Sand Hills State Park is expecting to see an influx of visitors who are looking to get outside and experience the great outdoors. The park, which is located just over 30 miles away from Odessa, off of Interstate 20, is open to the public, where people often go to explore, slide down on the sand dunes, and camp. We have a lot of people who love to come out here to picnic and camp, Sand Hills State Park Superintendent Alan Crow said. We have tons of photographers. People love to come out here to take photos of sunrises and sunsets. For Monahans resident Laura Navarette, it's cheap entertainment for her 2 children. With the pandemic and everything going on, you can't do much, Navarette said. We just wanted to bring the kids out today to do something. There's not much else to do. Living in Monahans, Navarette and her family are frequent visitors to the park, especially if it snows. It just depends, Navarette said. We visit a lot of times throughout the year. When it snows, it's fun to bring them over here to slide down. With the calendar getting further into spring, Crow said the number of visitors is expected to go up as families look for things to do while staying safe from COVID. Spring and fall are our busiest seasons, Crow said. Spring break is busy for all state parks. We're seeing increased visitation, but we still have room for people to enjoy, so we're still encouraging people to come out. Other families have also taken advantage of the break in their kids' school calendars to stop by the park. It is cheap entertainment and it wears them out, Midland resident Summer Telk said, who was there with her 3 kids Tuesday afternoon. My kids just love rolling down the hills and digging in the sand and going back to the top of the hill and going down, Telk said. They love it. So far, business has been a little slower than usual, with the park not as full of people as in the past. But Crow says that's likely because it's still early in March and that it should pick up. Maybe it's because the kids have been out of school a lot, but it's slightly slower than usual, Crow said. But usually the busiest weekend is the coming weekend, so we can't really tell yet. It's just the start of it. Crowe said so far they've had about 1,200 visitors this week. An average number is about 1,500, although that varies week to week. We seem to be at three-quarters full compared to most years, Crowe said. But as I said, the spring break has just started. It's spread out over 2 weeks this year, so as we get closer to this Saturday, I expect things to pick up. Plus, the governor has opened up for 100%, so we should see more reservations and more people later this week. Even with Governor Greg Abbott lifting the state mask order, Crowe says their staff at the park will still be cautious and that it shouldn't change their operations much. Pretty much, it's just allowing people to come into our buildings without a mask, Crowe said. Other than that, our operations are about the same. Our staff is staying protected with masks, but the visitors can come out without a mask starting Wednesday. That'll allow bigger groups to come in and camp. We don't have any more restrictions, Crowe said. You can come into the building without a mask. You can come with groups larger than 10 people. It's pretty much what it is before COVID. The park offers a Texas-sized sandbox for kids of all ages, as well as a close-up view of the desert environment. Among the many things to do at the park includes bringing a picnic and spending the day exploring on foot or horseback. People can rent sand discs and surf the dunes, as well as learn about the park and its natural and cultural history at the Dunnigan Visitors Center. Campers can reserve one of 26 campsites with water and electricity, with site containing a shade shelter. Visitation at most camp parks has been up throughout the pandemic as people look to go outside more and social distance easier, and that's been the same for Sand Hills State Park, aside from a two-week period last April where all state parks were closed by Abbott after the virus reached this part of the world. Actually, our visitation during COVID has been up, Crowe said. We were closed in April for a good part of it, but since then, our averages have been up across the board. People are trying to get out of the house, and the CDC says the chances of getting COVID outside are very limited. You're much more likely to get it in a building. Going out to the park is an excellent choice. Photo by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. From left, Carter Higgins, 11, Miles Higgins, 9, Tristan Navarette, 10, and Diego Zubia, 10, play in the sand of the Monahans Sand Hills State Park Tuesday afternoon in Monahans. Live music returns in June. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Yolanda Hernandez, left, and Gary Lloyd danced to a performance by Mariachi Armonia during the 2019 Hot Summer Nights, presented by Odessa Arts and Downtown Odessa at Noel Heritage Plaza. By Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. After a year that brought numerous cancellations, Odessa Arts is anticipating a return to some in-person events, plus other initiatives that will bring the arts to a wider audience. Shakespeare's plays, Hamlet and Much Ado About Nothing, will be broadcast on April 23rd on Basin PBS. Executive Director of Odessa Arts, Randy Hamm, noted that April 23rd is Shakespeare's birthday. June 4th will mark the return of Hot Summer Nights. The annual event was canceled last year due to the pandemic. It runs through July 30th. We're moving it into the Ector Theater for one summer only, Ham said. We really didn't want to cancel it again, and of course, all of these plans were made before the governor's executive order. But we still feel that the smart thing to do is hold this indoors. We can quickly adjust the attendance numbers based on our COVID case count for any given week. So if we have a high case count 1 week, then we lower the number of tickets. Governor Greg Abbott recently lifted the statewide mask mandate. It ended Wednesday. It's still a free event, Ham said of Hot Summer Nights, but we'll require tickets and masks in order to attend, and this way, if the COVID numbers keep declining, then we'll increase the number of audience members every week. But it allows us to be able to react quickly based on our COVID situation. Hot Summer Nights features local bands and groups from Austin and other locales. I'm really excited because for the first time we're partnering with the West Texas Jazz Party, which is also being held at the Marriott downtown. Our opening concert is a collaboration between the two organizations, and we're actually going to host one night of the West Texas Jazz Party as a Hot Summer Nights concert, Ham said. And then also on June 18th, our concert will be the Dallas Black Dance Theater, who we didn't get to bring in February this year because of COVID. We just rescheduled them as a Hot Summer Nights attraction, which I think is fabulous because they were so good and we're so excited to have them back, he added. Eric Baker, president of the West Texas Jazz Society, said he is glad to have live music in the community again. The Hot Summer Nights program brings West Texans together to sing, clap, laugh, and celebrate. We need it now more than ever. The collaboration between the West Texas Jazz Society and Odessa Arts means we can share our love of jazz music with the community on a much larger scale. This is the first time in WTJS history that a night of the jazz party will be free and open to the public. You won't want to miss it, Baker said in a text message. The next big event is an appearance by humorist and author David Sedaris, who is scheduled to return to Odessa at 7 p.m. October 28th at the Ector Theater. This will be his third visit to the Permian Basin. This is an event that we've had to postpone twice because of COVID, so fingers crossed, third time's the charm, Ham said. He added that he strongly suggests parental guidance for the show. It's not what I would consider a show for children, but it's a lot of fun, and he's a wonderful person, and the fact that he wants to come back here to West Texas says a lot about our cultural community, Ham said. Odessa Arts is seeking artists for the inaugural Basin 52 exhibit to be displayed from October 1st, 2021 to September 30th, 2022. 52 works by 52 different West Texas artists will be exhibited in various city buildings across Odessa. These works should reflect the artist's impression of West Texas. The works will also be included in an exhibit catalog and printed on a specialty playing card deck to be sold by local merchants. To apply, visit tinyurl.com/5FKATRZW. Ham said he stole the idea hook, line, and sinker from Waco. My good friend Fiona Bond runs Creative Waco. I think the world of her. I think she does an incredible job with what Waco has to offer, and she told me that she had commissioned 52 artists to create 52 pieces of art about Waco, and they exhibited them around the city and also turned it into a deck of playing cards, Ham said. And I just thought that was the most brilliant thing ever. So I've actually been working on it for about 2 years. Ham said he originally tried to tie it in with legislative days and had secured space in the Capitol in Austin, but the pandemic hit. I didn't want to just cancel the project because we can still host the exhibit here in Odessa and put some of the pieces in City Hall and some of the pieces at Municipal Plaza and even some of them in area hotels. And then we can create a deck of playing cards, which can be sold at hotel gift shops. It can be sold through local merchants and also directly through Odessa Arts. You basically have a piece of the Permian Basin you can keep in your pocket and take wherever you go, Ham said. To me, it was important to include artists from all over West Texas and not just Odessa. If you live in Pecos, if you live in Marfa, if you live in Big Spring, we still want you to apply and be part of this exhibit. I'm really excited about this. I can't wait to see what other people do. The deadline to enter is May 31st. We will select the artwork and the artists by the middle of July and have it ready to display by the 1st of October and have the cards printed, Hound said. The Mural Assistance Program is another upcoming project for Odessa Arts that Ham has been working on for the past couple of years. When we commissioned the Public Art Master Plan back in 2014, one of our action items was to have a mural assistance program. And at the time, I didn't know what form it would take. How do we create a mural assistance program for local businesses when our public art program is specifically for city-owned property? And how do we thread that needle and we still want to help the businesses? I found the City of Amarillo's Mural Assistance Program and I started reading that, Ham said. He talked to the people in Amarillo and found out what they do. They decided to also use a matching grant, sort of like a cultural tourism grant. This is specifically for murals that are placed on an income-generating building inside the city limits, and it caps at $2,500. The applicant, if selected, uses the public art commissioning process to help find an artist, and we split the grants up into the different council districts so that all of Odessa is represented and not just a specific area, Ham said. We also do a downtown district as well. What our cultural aspect of the mural assistance program is, we ask the business and the artist to make sure whatever they paint on the side of their building is also Instagrammable and that we use the hashtag #DiscoverOdessa. We use the hashtag #OdessaArts and we use it to promote people who are already here or are coming here to go visit the murals and take their selfies and post them on social media to advertise the beauty of our community. There are community standards in terms of what's in the mural that Ham said they are going to look at. If it's a restaurant, it can't have food on it because then it becomes an advertisement for the business as opposed to a piece of art. Then it starts to fall into the sign ordinance and what we want is art, not advertisement. We're going to evaluate them on a case-by-case basis until we run out of grant money this year. Our fiscal year ends September 30th. This summer, we will look at the applications and we'll announce the recipients at our annual meeting on September 30th at the downtown Marriott, Ham said. Odessa Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Renee Earls said she's looking forward to having art that represents Odessa. In Lubbock, there is a sign that people get their photos taken near, and she would like to see something like that in Odessa. On the return of hot summer nights, Earls said it's great. I mean, obviously, they've always had it outdoors, and so the outdoor aspect is so nice. However, I will say the Ector Theater is amazing. I toured it just about 2 weeks ago, and what an incredible facility to share with the community and with people from out of the area. I'm excited for them to start having events, so it makes sense that the two would partner together to offer something like that, Earls said. She added that the community is having some activities again and starting to travel. It's wonderful, too, because Odessa can be a regional destination for people and families out in the region. They can come here for the weekend, Earls said. Ham said he also is hoping for the in-person return of the Shakespeare Festival in November. Ham added that he's proud of Odessa Arts and the cultural agencies they fund for pivoting so quickly during the pandemic. It's been a very, very rough year for all of us, and we all miss in-person events as much as the community does, but we want to keep our patrons safe, he said. There was some very creative and quick thinking being done by a lot of our agencies, and it was very helpful to our community. Odessa Arts, odessaarts.org. Basin PBS, basinpbs.org. 404 days. For 404 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 16,397 total cases, 338 deaths. Midland County, 16,699 total cases, 251 deaths. Texas, 2,699,083 total cases, 45,411 deaths. U.S. cases, 28,992,598 total confirmed, and 526,213 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TCTRJLF. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital is administering COVID-19 first dose Pfizer vaccines from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at MCH Urgent Care locations at 3001 JBS Parkway and at 6030 West University Boulevard. Vaccines are for Phase 1A frontline workers and residents at long-term care facilities, and Phase 1B most at risk and for ages 65 and older. No appointment is necessary and walk-ins are welcome. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit mchodessa.com/coronavirus. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is administering COVID-19 vaccines. ORMC will contact those who received the first dose Pfizer dose at Ratliff to set their second booster shot appointment. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. To check on availability or to make an appointment, call 432-582-8549. That's 432-582-8549, or visit www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/vaccine. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR6NEUD. HEB pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For updates or information, visit cvs.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For updates, visit www.walmart.com/CP/12283. 3302 or www.samsclub.com/pharmacy. From Staff Reports. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital is administering COVID-19 first dose Pfizer vaccines from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at MCH Urgent Care locations at 3001 JBS Parkway and at 6030 West University Boulevard. Vaccines are for Phase 1A frontline workers and residents at long-term care facilities, and Phase 1B most at risk and for ages 65 and older. No appointment is necessary and walk-ins are welcome. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit mchodessa.com/coronavirus. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is administering COVID-19 vaccines. ORMC will contact those who received the first dose Pfizer dose at Ratliff to set their second booster shot appointment. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. To check on availability or to make an appointment, call 432-582-8549. That's 432-582-8549, or visit www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/vaccine. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR6NEUD. HEB pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For updates or information, visit cvs.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For updates, visit www.walmart.com/CP/12283-02 or www.samsclub.com/pharmacy. From Staff Reports. Closing prices. Posted $60.92. Futures $64.44. Natural gas $2.692. Benchmark U.S. rose 43 cents to $64.44 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Saying thanks, photos by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Nursing assistant Catalina Perez picks up a box of gift bags made for the nursing staff of MCH by St. Barnabas Episcopal Church Wednesday afternoon at Medical Center Hospital. The gift bags, made as a thank you for health professionals for their effort during the COVID-19 pandemic, included items like hand lotion, lip balm, snacks, and a prayer for nurses. Medical Center Hospital's Chief Nursing Officer, Kristen Timmons, talks with Reverend Rick Lopez of St. Barnabas Episcopal Church Wednesday afternoon at Medical Center Hospital. Medical Center Hospital's Chief Nursing Officer, Kristen Timmons, looks at the contents of a gift bag made for the nursing staff of MCH by St. Barnabas Episcopal Church with the senior warden of the church, Dorothy Jackson. Willis Permian Movers employees Jim Mejorano left and Michael Cruz unload boxes filled with gift bags made for MCH nurses by St. Barnabas Episcopal Church Wednesday afternoon at Medical Center Hospital. Celtic Fair remains optimistic about attendance by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. Rainy Days Promotions presents West Texas Celtic Fair, Midland. Last year, the West Texas Celtic Fair was among the last events in the area to be held before the COVID-19 pandemic forced everything to shut down. Now, 1 year later, with people getting vaccinated and with COVID cases in the area dropping, event director David Roy Rainey is optimistic about the attendance at this year's festival. The two-day festival, which serves to help educate people on Celtic culture, is scheduled Saturday and Sunday at the Horseshoe Pavilion in Midland. The festival includes plenty of music and entertainment, with Celtic food and vendors, as well as Scottish clans, workshops, and more. The event will start just 3 days after the state lifts its mask mandate. I really don't know what to expect because everyone's been held up for a year and looking for something to do, Rainey said. This is a great way to start, especially after the mandate is lifted up. I think you'll see a lot of people wanting to get out and do things. Even people who aren't Celtic and don't know much about it will want to do something this weekend. Hopefully, they'll show up. We have something for everyone. Despite the mask order being lifted, Rainey is still urging everyone to be safe and wear masks. It could change, but I'm advertising that masks and social distancing are required, but that will be set by the Midland Horseshoe on what they decide to do, Rainey said. I mentioned last year because we were the last event in Midland County before the shutdown as far as events. In my opening ceremony last year, I told everyone to not sneeze or cough on people, wash their hands, and don't be there if you're sick. It's basically common sense. The festival will start at 10 a.m. Saturday with various events going on around the arena, including a dog show with Lisa Neal at Stage 2. Entertainers Ricky Pittman and Red McWilliams will be performing on Stage 1 at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. respectively before the opening ceremony takes place on that stage. Pittman is a storyteller, author, songwriter, and folk singer with a resume that includes being the grand prize winner of the 1998 Ernest Hemingway Short Story Competition and is originally from Dallas. McWilliams is one of the most recognized names in Celtic music in the South and Southwest, being awarded the Celtic Entertainer of the Year in 1997 by the Celtic Heritage Society of East Texas and the Johnny Hailstones Entertainer of the Year in 1997 from the Scottish Clans of North Texas, Fort Worth. Among other groups performing will be an Irish rock group called the Blackguards. Helen Drain, a Scots-American folk rock band from Indianapolis, will also be performing. Other events going on during the weekend will include the European sword fight demonstration with Davin Rich European martial arts, as well as beer tasting and whiskey tasting. There will also be a Caelid that will take place 8 to 10 p.m. Saturday. For those who may not know, a Caelid is an informal song circle or social gathering. People can come and bring their instruments, tell jokes and stories, Rainey said. I require the bands and the entertainers there to perform. It's a 2-hour song circle. Among the attending clans will be the Clan Cameron Red River Branch. Aside from a few changes, Rainey doesn't expect this year's festival to be too different from previous installments. I can't really think of anything else much different other than maybe this year. We're not going to have to worry too much about COVID, Rainey said. With Texans doing away with the mask mandates and us having our fair on the first weekend after that, it's going to be interesting to see how that'll work out. According to Rainey, because of the low number of Celtic festivals in West Texas, it makes this one stand out more. There's a lot of people in West Texas that are Celtic and don't know it, Rainey said. It is the only festival between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Decatur. There used to be quite a few of them up and down Interstate 20, but they've all fallen by the wayside. It's one of the few ones left, so that makes us unique. I've gotten calls from people as far as Amarillo who want to be a part of this because there's nothing like it in their area. Ticket information can be found at https://WestTexasCeltic, that's C-E-L-T-I-C, fair.com/tickets/. Again, https://WestTexasCelticFair.com/tickets/. Odessa American for Thursday, March 11th, 2021, local, page 3A. Local news roundup. Buffalo Soldier Program. Texas Parks and Wildlife has scheduled a Buffalo Soldier program from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at the Monahans Sand Hills State Park. The program is free with paid entrance into the state park. Participants are strongly encouraged to wear a mask and to respect social distances. Visit www.facebook.com/Monahans Chamber. Masterclass. The University of Texas Permian Basin Music Department and CASAT in the Basin has scheduled a live stream masterclass with pianist Ursula Oppins from noon to 3 p.m. Friday at tinyurl.com/38WK5W6D. Comic Con. The Permian Basin Comic Con has been scheduled Friday through Sunday at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. VIP doors open at 5 p.m. Friday and at 10 a.m. Saturday. General admission doors open at 10:30 a.m. Saturday. Special guests include actors Kevin Sorbo and Austin St. John, voice actor Kenny James, and more. For tickets, visit pbcomiccon.x.com. OA News at oaoa.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.